Detox is a very popular thing right now, and there are people who are strongly against it, and then some people who say it can be helpful. So today I'm sitting down with my dear friend, Dr. Sarah Pugh, to talk about this in a balanced way, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Sarah Kleiner Wellness YouTube channel, as well as the Evolving Wellness podcast. I am going to post this on both platforms because I really want to talk about this topic of detox. Now, this is actually a recording that Dr. Sarah and I made for my private membership group. Now, Dr. Sarah is an admin in my private membership group, and she also answers questions, attends Zoom meetings. She's actually going to lead a Zoom meeting this Friday so I can have a day off. But she is a really fantastic source of looking at things through this quantum lens, but also her background in quantum biology really gives us a lot of great information when it does come to detox and how to do it safely. As I mentioned in the intro, it is really popular right now. People are doing a lot of detoxes, and some people do have good results, but a lot of people that come to me, it's usually the people that they don't feel good, it hasn't helped them, and maybe they've even gained weight. So again, Dr. Sarah and I wanted to take you through this topic in a fair and balanced way. This is a bonus episode. So if you enjoy it, make sure you share it out with friends and family. Now I'm posting this on Friday, which is typically when I post Quantum Conversations, but I have posted the first four episodes of Quantum Conversations on the channel and on my podcast. It is now on its own platform. So if you're missing the conversation with me and Carrie today, please go to the Quantum Conversations podcast or YouTube channel. I will link those in the show notes for you so that you can follow those and get those new episodes. Today's episode, if you're watching this live the day that it's released, is actually about Carrie and I's views on food, and mine have definitely changed quite a bit. Before I jump into this episode with Dr. Sarah, I do want to let you know one more thing, that if you are interested in getting in the private group where we hold talks like this and we hold Zoom meetings two times a week and have an opportunity for you to ask questions daily, the group actually comes with my 21-day leptin reset program and my quantum nutrition course. You get 1 month at no charge. And then if you want to stay beyond that first month, it's only $20 a month. It's a ridiculous deal. But I have that set up for those two courses, or if you buy any of the bundles that include those courses, you will get access to that private membership group now. And again, you get the opportunity to pick our brain and ask us questions while you go through that material. The Quantum Nutrition course is on sale right now, a back to school special, 25% off. You can find that also linked down in the show notes. So if you are interested in getting in the group, either check out the 21-day leptin reset or the quantum nutrition course. And I'll actually put a link just for the group if you just want to hop in and just pay the $20 a month right off the bat. Hope you enjoy this episode with Dr. Sarah, and I'll talk to you soon. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today, Dr. Sarah and I are going to talk about detox, which is a question that we've really been getting a lot of. Sarah is now helping me in my private membership group to answer a lot of these a little bit more complicated questions. So I'm really grateful to have her in the group and helping. And so we've been getting a lot of questions just in the group, and I see it a lot on the internet about detox. So we have a little bit of a different viewpoint to talk about, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because it does sound like we always poo-poo it and say no, but what we do 100% know toxins are a problem. I think it's just when we get into this podcast, we'll make sure you leave with a balloon, as we say. So we're not just going to tell you a load of, oh no, it's all rubbish and you can't do anything. We've got practical information at the end. It's just to explain, when I trained in detox in 2018, what I believed back then, and then I did it for, well, about 5 years now, and to tell you the things that went wrong. And then later when I learned quantum biology, I found out why I'd done it wrong. So that's, you know, we all learn more doing stuff wrong, basically.
Definitely. And, you know, I feel like what I get a lot of is people that try these detoxes and then they end up gaining weight or feeling worse or becoming more sick. And so it's just a growing thing because a lot of these detoxes are extremely popular right now. So hopefully we can bring some clarity to the topic. And then also, like you said, give people some takeaway things that they can do.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think the first problem that I have with it is people haven't tested to see what toxins they've got, because that they come in different properties. Like the heavy metals are going to be positively charged. So those are things like mercury and cadmium and arsenic, which is wildly different to like a plastic or a pesticide that could be aromatic, as in it's got rings, so it can wedge itself into body fat. And then mold toxin is a different beast altogether, and different binders bind to different toxins in different ways. So sometimes people have bought loads of binders and they're taking the wrong binder and it's stealing all their minerals because they're trying to catch the wrong toxin. So that's my first issue, is you should have an idea what you want to try and get out, even if there is anything there in the first place, because lots of the symptoms of toxins can be from having a bad circadian rhythm, because your brain can make you feel awful all by itself. That's the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I think a lot of people don't understand about the whole circadian piece, and they kind of write it off, is that our body kind of runs on this circadian clock, and these drainage pathways, you can open them by simply entraining yourself circadian wise, blocking artificial light at night, getting that morning sunlight, because every single cell and organ system in your body runs on this circadian timer. And so that's just a really simple thing that people can do, and they should do, I think, before they start any sort of a detox protocol. It's just basic, right?
Oh, definitely. And the other really important thing, we've got fight and flight, the sympathetic nervous system. So the body doesn't want to detox then. It'll do it when you're in parasympathetic or rest and digest. So that would be when your heart rate variability is high and you're less sort of stressed. There's that, you can actually test it, because say if a war was going on, the last thing we would do would be tidy our houses. And that's what our bodies are like. When we're in the wrong side of the nervous system, we've only got so much energy and resources. Our bodies will do what it thinks is most important. So that's the other big thing I learned, was to look at people's emotional states before starting a detox, because the way detox sort of works is one of the most important routes out of the body is the gut, but also you need the liver to make the bile to mix with the toxins. Then you need to have enough things like glutathione methyl groups, glucuronyl groups to attach onto the toxins, and then the cells need to push the toxins out. So there's four stages of detox: 1, 2, 3, and 4, and something can go wrong in each of them. Generally, the cells can push the toxins out all right themselves. Then you also need these toxins to pass through cell membrane. So we always forget about cell membrane health. And when it comes to how cells push toxins out, they need to have a good redox potential. So that would be how negative the cell is. And that's basically a function of the structured water. It's not the pump, the potassium sodium pump that sets the membrane potential. That's a backup. So when we talk about redox before you detox, a lot of people throw it around and have no idea what it means.
Agree.
Obviously, the gut problems go beyond just food, and some people have got a gut issue and they don't know, and some people can have a liver issue that they don't know. So when I was learning detox, nobody could do anything until they did a pre-tox, which was really gentle, and that was sort of using things like PC, which is phosphatidylcholine, mm-hmm. bitters. You know, so I don't have a problem with the pre-tox. I think it's brilliant. My point is, why not just stop at the pre-tox? Because there's huge sort of more detail into this pre-tox that we're going to go into. And also we're going to talk about different binders later, because they've got different properties, because no matter what, there are always people that want to buy something. So yeah. Maybe we can move into some of the reasons why I ran into issues with clients was, one of them you mentioned just now was people gain weight because body fat stores toxins. Because they're safe in there, they can't do anything. Whereas if you all of a sudden let all the toxins out or lose a lot of weight suddenly, the body can very easily make a load of fat all of a sudden to grab the toxins to put them back in, because it doesn't care about what you look like. It Right. cares about the toxins.
And keeping your organs safe. That's what the fat is there to do, is to keep the toxins away from your vital organs so that you don't die, essentially, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I was going to ask you one thing really quickly. How would someone know if they had a heavy metal problem versus like a plastics problem? So you're looking at, you know, metals versus aromatic acids, or how would someone know how to do that?
Oh, right. The thing is, there is tests for it. Like mercury, there's a tri-test because you have to do feces, urine and blood to get an idea. Are you dealing with inorganic mercury or methyl mercury? Because one comes from the environment and the other comes from sort of more like fillings and fish. And one of them's much worse for the brain, because I'm glad you mentioned that. Just another thing about why you shouldn't just dive into a detox is because, like you were saying, the body wants to protect the organs, so it will put the heavy metals in random places in the body, in like muscle cells and all sorts. So if you push all of the toxins out there, the way the brain cells are, that they have a slightly different membrane potential, so they're very, very sensitive to sucking in mercury. So what you can do is you can disturb the mercury in your body when it wasn't really doing that much harm, and then it'll go and it can end up going in your brain. And that's another reason people feel worse, because the toxic, it's called relocation or reabsorption, because they weren't doing that much harm to start with, and then you jiggled them all up and they went and ended up somewhere, and they did start causing harm. So that, I just had to mention that about the test. So that there's tests for different metals. You can do a variety, you can do hair tests, and then there's a variety of serum, urine and blood tests for other toxins. Because I've seen people with quite extensive toxicology reports, because I always look for certain things, like glyphosate. It is something that is problematic. And then there are different things like plastics and dyes. In terms of symptoms, sort of neurological things tend to be more the metals. And the plastics would be more sort of down endocrine disruption.
But so then hormone issues, right?
Yeah, but then you can't really, it's one of these things, it's horses for courses, that some people can have huge amounts of mercury in them. It's like there's always a trifecta, that if somebody's got lots of mercury and no EMF exposure, it's not really going to bother them. Mm-hmm. And then LPS, or the endotoxin that bacteria make, synergizes heavy metals. So if you've got a gut infection or leaky gut and mercury, you've got two aspects of the trifecta. And because we all are exposed to EMFs, we all have that one, obviously some more than others. So this is back to this idea of certain people can tolerate lots of metals and it doesn't cause them a single issue. So that could be a case of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And they would definitely benefit from doing a quantum approach. Even if they had a test and it showed a lot of problems, if it's not causing them any symptoms, they're much better doing a slow process, because they're not impatient. Because I do appreciate that people are impatient. They've spent money, they've got these problems, it's stopping them working, it's stopping them sleeping, and they just want to get to the bottom of it, and they're really eager. I must do something. Mm-hmm. And sometimes doing something without thinking or planning properly with detox can have other problems.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole reason why we wanted to have the talk, is because, yeah, there, it's just a trendy thing right now. Everyone is talking about parasites, heavy metals. You know, parasites are a big one that everyone says they have. And I again have seen a lot of people do these kind of parasite cleanses, and maybe they feel better. A lot of times, not. Sometimes they feel no difference, and then sometimes they actually feel a lot worse. And I'm like, maybe parasites wasn't actually the problem that you were dealing with, that you needed to detox from, or, you know.
Well, the thing is, with parasites, it's like booting out lodgers, that they're not going to go quietly.
Right.
And it's the same with some nasty bacteria in the gut. And it's just like, so you can use artemisin. That's quite a popular one for parasites. But because it kills lots of things, then you run into the endotoxin problem. Because even though the bacteria and the parasites have been blown up, the little pieces of them drive the immune system absolutely berserk. And the endotoxin is the thing that gives people brain fog. So that's a really common thing with detox. And it's not because the detox is working, it's because you're not doing it properly. Same as rashes. Because like I said right at the beginning, the gut is meant to do the lion's share of the detoxing. But if that's not working properly, the toxins can end up back in the blood, and the kidneys have to try and do it, and they're not supposed to do it. They can do it a little bit, depending on what kind of toxin or binder you use, but it's not their job. So that's why you can get rashes and weird stuff like that. And another example of a rash is when you haven't got enough PC, because phosphatidylcholine's like laundry softener, like the bile is like detergent, and then it's like a fabric softener. So if your bile's too harsh and you're doing detox and pumping a lot of bile out, that can also give you rashes and things just because it's not the right consistency. So that would be going back to the pretox and making sure you've got bile that's the right sort of consistency.
Yeah, we've been kind of doing some stuff for my daughter, and we've been using PC twice a day and some different oils, you know, just to kind of stabilize the mitochondria, and then some gentle things like Tudka before bed, just to kind of help get the liver moving. And I think that before anyone does, I'm not a huge supplement person, but I think if you are like, I want to do a detox, kind of doing something to stabilize the mitochondria first is going to be really important. What would you say?
Oh, no, I 100% agree. But unfortunately, it can be chicken and egg-ish because the mercury provokes the mitochondria. So, you know, that's why sometimes you've got to be gentle, and they can only, when the mitochondria are not happy, if you try and push them too much, they can basically pop, and then it's worse. But then on the subject of, you mean lipofullerenes, they in themselves are actually detox molecules like magneticos. So and I absolutely love both of them, because I do use supplements, just not very often. I'll use like something very specific for a reason or a pharmaceutical and test everything. But people buy magneticos and fullerenes C60, and you need to probably take a little bit of binders of some sort with that. So DMSA is for catching mercury that comes out when you use a magnetico, because it's really good for getting mercury out of the brain, because it's not easy to get mercury out of that safely, and a magnetico is pretty slow to do it. And then the same with the C60, it's not like a big blast of toxins. It's kind of slow, but it's still, people buy these really expensive fullerenes and think, well, I wanted to feel better, I feel worse. But that, if that happens, all it is a detox, and it's usually you've got to give them 21 days. I happen to feel a bit weird for 3 days, and all of a sudden I'm massively on a roll again. And that's how I discovered that that you can do gentle detoxes with things that are safe, but they're also supporting the mitochondria on the way. Because the thing I love about fullerenes are they block cytokine storms, which is just a way of like saying you really angered the immune system. And you can anger it by jiggling toxins around, but then you can anger it by trying to kill off nasty bacteria and candida and parasites. So managing your immune system while you're doing a detox is really important. And that leads me on to another point. I don't have anything against chlorella. There are better things for binding mercury, but it can stimulate the immune system. And if somebody's already on the autoimmune spectrum, is this going to trigger a whole great big sort of relapse, or could remission? So you have to sort of understand that these things that you use have other properties. But then again, blocking a cytokine storm is something that is actually been proven in a lab that the C60 can. So that would be, you know, we both use wizard science for that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. I love wizard sciences. And we use the neural formula. I think it's wonderful. Absolutely. So what's next?
Yeah. So I think it's, let's have a look. Oh, I know. The other thing is you've got to find out where you got the toxin from in the first place, because it might be something that you, because with fat cells, you can have the same ones for years, or, you know, some people like me that loses the same 7 pounds over and over and gains it back. It's different ones. So the thing is, it might be something that's kind of banned now. I have seen people with DDT in them. But then, we used to use lots of leaded petrol where I'm from in Wales. So it's guaranteed of people of a certain age in certain regions of where you lived. And I know, isn't it Flint in, that's near Detroit?
Michigan.
It's got a terrible problem with
the water.
So I think it's one of those things. First of all, you need to think, okay, where did I used to live? Have I got fillings? And then certain foods can be quite problematic for different toxins as well. So it's always a good idea to also, if you have used lots of cosmetics, which is, it doesn't matter because we all have, we didn't know, and dyes and stuff and candles and perfume, you might have, you know, you might be more likely to have those kind of toxins, because then there are the fire retardants and the phthalates. So again, it's always a good idea to think, okay, where did it come from? And I make sure I haven't got that anymore, especially mold. You've got to get rid of the mold, because if you haven't found where it is, the whole problem will start again.
Come back. Some people eat,
because it can be moldy coffee beans, Brazil nuts, chocolate, grains.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So that, I think that's important too, because if you can just do all these detoxes, but if you're still living in a moldy environment, or you're eating a lot of foods that have a lot of mold content in them, which you just mentioned several, that I know a lot of people are addicted to, their chocolate and their coffee. You might want to consider eliminating those if you are really serious about getting rid of mold, right? Yeah, I hope you're enjoying this episode with Dr. Sarah Pugh. Just a quick little note to remind you, if you do want access to me and Dr. Sarah, where we talk about things like detox, hormones, thyroid, all these things that they are nuanced, and there's not a cut and dry answer for a lot of these questions that Dr. Sarah and I both get on YouTube, Instagram, and even via email, definitely check out the courses linked in the show notes. The Quantum Nutrition course is 25% off right now through my back to school special. You get 1 month of the private membership group with that course, as well as the 21-day leptin reset course. So I'm going to put all my back to school specials in the show notes for you in those courses, as well as a link if you just want to do the group and you don't want to get a course, you can always do that. So thank you again for listening to today's episode, and let's jump back into it.
Yeah, no, that's me. Actually, I have cut down on the chocolate, because I did watch a video just earlier about it having cadmium and other heavy metals in it. So that's kind of put me off now. And then the coffee, that's been a constant thing. But the thing is, I think they're a lot more savvy now, because even though if people try and say, oh, stop making these videos telling everybody things are dangerous, well, if we don't, then the companies get away with it. So they're much more savvy now. So at least somebody does something about it. So yeah, you're correct. So that's the thing. Yeah, I will, you know, give up the coffee and the chocolate completely and see if it does make a difference.
Yeah, for me, I always see my HRV go way up when I do that. I don't typically wear an Oura ring, but I have been wearing one for like the last month or so, because I was getting kind of addicted to chocolate and letting the occasional coffee slip in there. And I wanted to see where my HRV was, and it wasn't as high as it was when I had previously been off of all the coffee and the chocolate. Now that I've been off of it for the last 3 weeks, my HRV is slowly starting to tick back up. And it takes time, right? It doesn't just the first day that you don't have coffee and chocolate, that night your HRV is improved. And maybe for some people, but for me, it takes probably a month or even 2 months of me not having those things to actually see my HRV go. It can actually double. I've seen it double before. So.
Oh, and that's really important, because there is actually mold in this house. And it's one of these things. This is another issue. Not everybody's sensitive to mold toxin. Yeah. As I said earlier, you know, we have to take our SNPs in mind of how good we are at detoxing certain things like xenoestrogens, or because pharmaceuticals are also classed as a toxin now because they're in our water.
Oh, yeah.
And some people are better at detoxing different things than others. We know that from sort of data. People actually have data on who excretes pharmaceuticals really quickly and who hoards them. And then it's also, you know, as you get older, you get worse. And then, as I said about the EMFs, no matter how fine I feel now, the EMFs are going up. So I have to do something about the mold at some point. I mean, it's not that bad, but like you've just said, it's just stupid, because, you know, maybe I think it's not doing any harm, but I've never got rid of it properly, fully, to see, oh my goodness, has it changed my life?
Yeah, exactly. It's hard. It's one of those things, like you feel okay, and then when it's gone. I'm also wearing the Oura ring because I'm having a building biologist here next week, because I have suspicions about our house having more EMF than our last house, and that may be contributing to some of the issues that we've been having here. So we're going to see and see if he does some really serious mitigation, if that's possible. I want to see if I can get my HRV to go up even more after that, because it's EMF is one of those things you don't really feel it necessarily. Some people are sensitive to it, and I think that can be a gift, but you don't necessarily feel it until you've mitigated and you give your body that time to get into the more of a parasympathetic state.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes. So I suppose we might want to go into, say, if people were planning on doing a detox, how could they do it quantumly? Because we've kind of covered some of the points of how the toxins get out of the body and how having enough ATP, which is as in energy, because that's obviously going to participate, having enough structured water, which is again, the mitochondria make that, but also we can structure water ourselves. And most people know that infrared or infrared blankets and saunas alone can be really helpful, because I had worked with a family and had an autistic son, and they did nothing except buy a sauna blanket, because they were they wanted to do one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. And that made a massive difference. So infrared light, whether it's from people or sauna blankets, or obviously going outside, red light panels, that can help, because it also helps the mitochondria function. But then with the exclusion zone or the EZ water, it basically excludes everything, including toxins. And that's why if you expose yourself to too much EMFs, you lose, it's like 15% of your EZ. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so exactly.
And also, I think we were discussing before that sometimes with the detox, we focus too much on biochemistry, whereas definitely I have to do a dopamine or a tech detox sometimes for 2 days, not focusing all the time and blaming biology for everything, because it can just be I need to be away from Instagram or social media or whatever, because even though it's fun, it also, you know, all we don't subconsciously, stuff goes in that we don't like.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a really tough one for people these days. And that could be the reason why you're not feeling as well as you could.
Oh yeah, definitely. And also the other thing, because I mentioned magneticos and I always try and mention things that are available to everybody, because they are expensive, but there are lots of them secondhand as well. Mm-hmm. We found them for like crazy prices. So it is worth, kind of exploring. And I think something I was telling you was, because I have to always go and do everything to excess, and I probably do have orthorexia, I think, because I had to buy I bought one magnetico and loved it, so obviously then two magneticos had to be better. But then things started to not feel quite right, because I'd already then bought a giant 4-wavelength red light panel and loads of other things. I was just over quantuming myself.
Yeah,
and that's why I mentioned the mitochondria popping, because if you ramp up an engine too much when you're not completely ready, or add about 20 things, like throw so much shit at the wall falls down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's why you should only do red light for, you know, start off at 5 minutes and work your way up to 20 minutes, because some people can have a really powerful reaction to just 5 minutes of red light therapy.
Oh, definitely. And the thing is, I'm totally guilty of all the things the clients do, of diving in and not. Well, I'm much better now, but being really impatient or really keen, mm-hmm. or right, I'll start it all tomorrow. And so mm-hmm. I totally understand this. I must be doing something to improve myself. And like we said at the beginning, the toxins are not nonsense in our heads. Of course, they're real. It's just about we have to try and slow down a bit how to get them out. Because exactly like I just said, then you can't just throw everything at yourself just to see what happens. You have to then pull back. And like I said at the beginning, I've learned so much from doing it wrong. Thankfully, 90% of it was on me, but obviously I've done a lot of it on clients as well by accident in the past. So then grounding is a form of magnetism. So again, I've said to people, some people will say, okay, right, I'm going to take everything outside, and that's brilliant. But then it's back to the magnetico. You probably are going to push some toxins out. So that will be an example of some binders might be useful. So do you want to go through some other quantum things first, or do you want to go to the binders? Because we obviously had, the deuterium depleted water. That's something that we were going to talk about.
Yeah. So grounding is something people can do to detox, believe it or not. And I actually have had people have like a detox reaction when they first start grounding. They've never really done grounding before. They're not used to touching their body to the earth's surface. And so I have had people have like a Herxheimer reaction from grounding. And just sunlight in general. Those things can also help with deuterium depletion. So yeah, I guess we could talk about that, unless you have anything to add to other quantum things. I know red light therapy and sauna.
Yeah, I think we all, because some people don't have access to a sauna, and that's where exercising and sweating, because the skin also is an organ, and it's perfectly capable of, it's designed to let toxins out. So it comes above the kidneys in how where the toxin should leave, and it can the skin's neglected. And also, as we were talking about earlier, the way heat therapy works is it sort of mimics having a fever, so it'll again can help with infections to some degree as well. And that reminds me, there's another really important thing about supplements and banging out your own detox by accident, because one of them's piperine and it's from pepper. And what people do is they use it in lots of supplements to try and increase the bioavailability of things like sulforaphanes or curcumin, berberine, CBD. But the problem with piperine is it knocks out part of your detox for a couple of hours, so it makes you wide open. And that would be an example. If you want to do a detox, I would not use any piperine, because what you're doing is you're annoying your detox system all the time using that supplement. So find a different way or a different supplement. The other one is, we call it paracetamol, but you call it Tylenol, don't you? Uh-huh. So what that does, that bangs out all of your glutathione for a couple of hours in the liver. So sometimes people, when they remove or stop using paracetamol or Tylenol, because now they've let their body build their glutathione levels back up again. The glutathione is sort of like a policeman that arrests the toxin and marches it out safely. And some people detox fine all of a sudden because they've taken away the thing that was provoking their own detox pathways in the first place.
Yeah.
And then if we're talking about DDW, that's when a ketogenic diet is important, because that automatically produces deuterium depleted
water. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I've talked about this on other podcasts before. I don't have people start with the water unless they have cancer. I'll have people start with a ketogenic diet and throw in some strategic fasting. We have to work with the whole hormone issue, which maybe we can do a separate chat about that. I know we get a lot of hormone questions. So we've done a really extensive hormone Q&A in the private group. I'm sure we'll do another one, but, you know, I have people start with the keto and the fasting first, if they really want to deplete deuterium. And then if they're still like, you know, maybe they have thyroid antibodies, they've got low vitamin D, they've got these kind of other lingering issues, then I'll say, let's do a water protocol. And I think that it can actually be, I think it can be pretty powerful, don't you?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's always go for the free things that, you know, the non-complicated natural way, because that just reminded me as well. The other quantum thing is sulfates, because that gets attached onto toxins to make them water soluble. And that's a very sort of quantum molecule, because it's quite big in structuring water. We need sulfate to make exclusion zone water. So it's going to be part of how, you know, our bodies at the cellular level move these toxins through, because the easy water's everywhere, it coats all of the membrane, so it will play a really important role, and the sulfate will be part of that, but it's also part of making sure that the toxins can be passed around, because if they can't dissolve it in water, they're going to stay happily where they are. And that's not complicated. You can use MSM and you can use Epsom salts.
I was going to say, take Epsom salt baths, right?
Yeah. San Pellegrino, if you like that. Mineral water's got tons of sulfate in it. That's why it's really expensive. And then there are obviously sulfur-containing vegetables, because some people don't tolerate them very well. And sometimes it's a molybdenum deficiency, but sometimes it's something else. So that's always sort of worth considering. But so back to the food, I think you mentioned the hormones, because when it comes to organs and thyroids, I think the toxin that particularly is a problem for those ones are oxalates. So that's why if you want to do vegetable juicing, don't use high oxalate vegetables, because you'll just end up, that's an example of people doing a detox and ending up with new problems or making it worse, because now they've added all of the oxalates on top of whatever they were trying to get out. So you have to be a bit careful there.
Right. Yeah. Cause that's going to bind calcium. It's going to cause, for some people, kidney stones. And I see people doing these like celery juices and spinach and, you know, thinking that they're making their body more alkaline and detoxing things. And they've just overloaded their body with a bunch of oxalates, and not a good thing.
No, because they're quite nasty as well, because they'll make little needle-like crystals. So obviously a kidney stone is the end result. You know, when you, type 2 diabetes is the end result of high blood sugar. Mm-hmm. If you've got a kidney stone, you've, because they make little micro needles which can pop organelles, and it is a, for some reason the oxalates like going into thyroid glands, but thankfully nature has sort of citrate or lemon juice or potassium citrate, so you can wash it out. But again, like any toxin, if you try and rush to get rid of the oxalate, you can get something called an oxalate dump, which is another example of I'm trying to be healthy and then I've created a new problem for myself. So again, Sally Norton's the oxalate expert for people who are really into it, but it's also another problem. And I've met clients that this has happened to, is they get completely obsessed with parasites and detoxes and make them ill, make themselves ill, trying to get rid of them or worry about them. And it's sort of negative talk to yourself to say, I'm toxic as well. So you have to sort of be a bit careful, because it's very easy to get really sucked in, because obviously the internet spies on us. So me and Sarah and you will get loads of like random posts about detox now, because we've talked about it, you know. How the internet knows what we talk about, and it is really, you know, you get scared thinking, oh no, I'm not doing anything and all these toxins and stuff, but you know, it's slowly.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you have to go slowly. So what's next on the list?
I think we should probably wrap up with binders. So, because Takasumi is what?
That's the one we use. I use that with my daughter. I use that with myself. If I feel like I need a binder before we go in the sauna, before she goes in the sauna, I always give her the Takasumi about 30 minutes before. Why do you like that one? I love how you kind of explain this one.
Yeah, because it can make infrared light, and so it can make structured water. So it's more easy water for us. And again, as we were saying, the crux of detox boils down to having good redox. And if we haven't got enough structured water, we're going to have less redox in our cells. So it's kind of helping on lots of levels. Yeah. And then another one I like is Biosil or orthosilicic acid, because it's just silica, which is important for bones and tendons and the immune system, and it binds aluminium. And even though mercury and cadmium and lead people think are the monsters, we've all been super exposed to aluminium because of tins and cooking and cans, and we've not been careful, whereas we are generally careful-ish with the other nasty ones. And that's kind of safe. I don't bother people. I always recommend that, because I just know aluminium is endemic and you're not going to hurt yourself with that. The other one that if people are starting out is, I quite like, is acacia gum or gum arabic, because first of all, it's a soluble fiber. Secondly, you can use it to make your coffee more fluffy if you like blending it. Or you can put it in it's kind of easy. It doesn't really taste of anything, and it can bind certain toxins and things. It's not a very good binder, but sometimes that's a good thing, because if you use a very strong binder, it's going to steal your medication or minerals and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the thing that we do with the Takasumi. We try to keep that at least 4 hours away from the PC or any of the other, you know, anything else I'm giving her. That I try to give her the Takasumi like in the middle of the day, if I can, away from meals. Even though it's not a super aggressive binder, it can steal the things that if you take the supplements with them, it's going to kind of cancel them out. Right.
Is it negatively charged? I think it can bind metals. I'd have to look up, because generally for other binders that people have heard of, charcoal is quite broad spectrum, and it can do heavy metals, and it can do mold toxins, and most importantly, it can do endotoxin, the bacterial one. And I think you just have to be careful you don't buy a dirty preparation. Then there's things like chitosan, which can bind pesticides and a few other things. But the problem with, and it binds fatty things, because people have used it in the past in diet pills to bind fat. But the problem with chitosan or chitosan, if you want to pronounce it, it's from shellfish. So if you've got an allergy to that, don't use it. And also, because it binds fatty things, it'll steal your vitamin E, the PC, it'll steal your DHA like crazy. But it would be quite good for kind of fatty toxins, that are, because they're wildly different from a metal. And then there are others that they're zeolites. They're quite broad spectrum, and I know you don't like them. I've used them in the past because they're generally quite broad spectrum. How come you don't like them?
Well, it's not that I don't like them, because I have never actually used them before. I've just had a lot of, you know how it is when you have a social media channel, you get a lot of people that contact you with problems. You know, if you're someone who actually looks at your messages and your emails, then you'll see it does something that's really wonderful for one person can cause a boatload of trouble for someone else. And so you have to kind of keep that open mind. And that's what I try to do on my channel, on my, you know, is never be closed-minded to something. But with the zeolite, that's one that I have had people have really, really bad reactions to. So that's why I'm a bit more cautious with that one.
Because doesn't it come in filters? So yes, it probably does bind chemicals, but that's it's inside a filter, not in a person.
Right.
So I think partly maybe it's some of it's, there might be good zeolite around, but I think a lot of it's the, it's meant to go in a filter. So it's not the edible grade, because supplement companies are just most of the time out for the money. So they will sell you the cheapest one a lot of the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's one. I mean, you've seen good things with it though, with zeolite.
I'm not sure, because, you know, you can't tell, because I always use mixed binders with people, like a blend. I used to make them or buy them pre-made, because another one that's popular would be clay, because our ancestors ate clay.
Oh, yeah.
But the clay is not brilliant for heavy metals. It's really good for pesticides and hormones and stuff like that, but metals, it's not brilliant. But again, people are not gonna, but if it doesn't bind metals, it doesn't bind magnesium and calcium, so it doesn't steal minerals as much. And again, it's sort of we have eaten clay for a while, and I've had people who've sworn by bentonite clay, that's all they did, and it really helped them. Because the other thing about binders that I think can be useful is that if somebody's losing a lot of weight, and like I was saying, the toxins will come out in the fat, and probably they're going to be in ketosis anyway, because, you know, whether they're eating carbs or not, if they're using fat as fuel, they will have ketones, so they're going to have a ton more deuterium depleted water, and there might, everything's working really well. That's sometimes when I suggest binders, because it can be really infuriating for somebody if they're doing everything perfectly, and because of a toxin thing, they weren't getting them out. That was why they plateaued. And it's really demoralizing. And then people start cutting calories more, exercising more, and then they end up leptin resistant, and all the weight comes back. And it was just because they were doing everything right.
Yeah, exactly. I like castor oil packs in that situation. If someone's got a serious weight loss stall, I'll have them do something gentle, like a castor oil pack. I don't know how you feel about those.
I don't know. I've never tried it, because when I was thinking about it, I was sort of wondering if it's like, is that like a gallbladder detox? Because that's something that can go very, very interesting at home.
I think it's a gentle way to detox the liver.
Do you eat it or put it on yourself?
Oh, I just put it over the liver. I put castor oil over the liver and then put a pack on top of it, and maybe like a hot water bottle, some sort of a heat source on top. And I'll just lay there for an hour or so. So it really gets your body nice and relaxed. And I've, for myself, when I was trying to lose weight previously, before I got pregnant, and when I was trying to get pregnant, that was one of the things I would do in the first like 10 days of my cycle. I would never do it after ovulation, but I would do it in the first 10 days because it was great at kind of moving estrogen. You poop really well when you do a castor oil pack, but those you have to be careful with too, because I've had, you know, again, this is why I love having the membership group, is because people try things and they'll report back. I did a castor oil pack for 15 minutes and now I have a massive headache and I feel terrible. It wasn't the castor oil pack. And I'm like, probably, yeah, you probably maybe only want to start with 5 minutes to see how you feel, because it can, you never know, it, that can also cause you to lose minerals and disrupt your electrolytes. So you always have to use caution with these things.
Well, no, that's really interesting, because I've not tried that. Because so what do? You just get castor oil, rub it on where your liver is, put plastic. Well, what do you put on top of it?
There's one I've been wanting to have the Queen of Thrones lady on my podcast, but we've keep missing each other. But she's got this great wool pack that you can actually tie on, and you can wear it around the house while you do things. I like to just lay down when I do a casserole pack and just make it a relaxing time to get my body really into a parasympathetic state. But yeah, I use like a wool cloth, and you can buy them at the health food store. I don't like to use plastic. And I don't like to even use like plugged in heating pads. I'd like to use like a hot water bottle, or I'll even go into the sauna and do it. So it kind of, there's some heat with it. But yeah, those can actually be powerful. And again, kind of help your body get rid of excess estrogen. And I found a lot of people that have been constipated, they'll poop and it'll actually get the gallbladder working as well. So it just kind of stimulates everything there. But you want to buy a really nice castor oil that's in a glass bottle that's organic. You got to be kind of choosy about where you get your castor oil and then the pack that you use too.
Oh no, that's the same with anything. Cause I think the other one that I know of is the more aggressive one where you eat lots of apples and then you drink 200 mils of olive oil, and then you lie down in the bed with a hot water bottle, and that's people do green poo and there's gore. But the thing is that's an example of, it's okay for somebody healthy like me experimenting, but it could be a real disaster for somebody who's not very well, because it's just too rough. But it's one of those things that's, if you go on the internet, that's the one you'll find. And I think
it's gallbladder flush. It's Andreas. Oh, I can't remember his name. Yeah.
I'm sure people will comment and say, oh, that really was amazing. That's the thing with everything. And we always talk about this, that no matter, you know, nobody's a God. Nobody knows everything.
Right.
You know, loads of stuff works. You just have to find out how is this going to work for me? And I do think a lot of it is this thing called spatial and temporal summation. So sometimes it's the order in which you do something, and that's why it worked. And then the other one, the spatial summation, is you did four things at once and it synergized, and that's why it worked. And it's like with everything, I'll never 100% poo-poo something unless, you know, it definitely is BS. And this thing about those two gallbladder ones, they're both valid. I can see how both of them would work. And some people might like the apples and the olive oil better, and other people would like the castor oil. But I think the take home message is, start with the castor oil pack.
Yeah, I would definitely do that before I did that gallbladder flush. I've looked at that one before and thought, you know, and I was very anti-cleanse for a little bit, but every now and then I'm like, you know, you kind of get a feeling like I might want to try that. But that gallbladder cleanse, I still haven't really felt the urge to do that one.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like coffee enemas that people always ask me about.
People are obsessed with the coffee enemas. What do you think about those?
The thing is, I'd never recommend it, just because I've got friends who are nurses and they just go mad saying, you know, it's dangerous. And, you know, if you must do something like that, go and see a professional. Don't lie on your bathroom floor and do it, because what do you know about? It's our job to do that. And other people swear by them. So I think it's something I'd never recommend it in case I got sued. That's
right.
I have tried it myself, doing what my nurse friends would really, and my one of my friends really got upset at me, like really angry, said it, you know, but then same as you, I've heard hundreds of people that really love it. So I would just think, you know, buy proper equipment, learn about it. You know, I'm not recommending it in any way, but I'm not saying it doesn't work either, because for some people, they've got gut issues. And you have to use the back door basically, because you can't put anything in this way. You know, it's like, again, I'm not going to stop somebody from doing it. If it's part of their routine and they love it, then good.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Yeah. I'm very cautious about the coffee enemas, because I've never done one before, to be honest. And it's just, I think you have to be careful with those types of things and really know what you're doing. And then I see people that get addicted to them and they do them like 3-4 times a week. And I know that can't be healthy. That can't be good to constantly be wiping out, just wiping everything out. Cause I'm more of a terrain theory type of a person, that you need to have some parasites, you need to have some healthy bacteria in the body. And that's part of how we survive. And if you're constantly putting antibacterial mouthwash and hand stuff and coffee enemas and, you know, parasite cleanses that you're probably doing a little bit more harm than good, and you should be looking to increase the energetic capacity of your body, supporting the mitochondria so that your body is a little bit more self-correcting.
Oh, definitely. Because I think that, as we were talking about off camera, that our microbiomes control our personalities. Mm-hmm. But I think basically the back door is a great big sort of taboo area. And part of it is a sexual thing. Not that I've got anything against anything like that. And I think it's just, and we're not going to go there, because I've had the same. I know people that are obsessed with colonics. Mm-hmm. There's a place that does vodka colonics and soap and coffee. Wow. It's like a professional place. And I did go once, and I had two, because wow. There's a whole really complicated thing you're meant to do and eat. And I was carnivore at the time, and I basically did it. And the nurse was like, oh my goodness, you must eat so many vegetables, and your poo was, it all was so perfect. And it worked perfectly the very first two times, and you don't need to come back. So that's just an example about the whole, you know, I do eat vegetables now within reason, but that was an example of how the whole fiber, and you must eat, you know, a whole farm of vegetables. And I didn't say anything. I just humored her, because then in the aftercare thing, it was about, oh, you must eat lots of chia seeds and this, that, and the other. But it just goes to show that, you know, the whole fiber thing, you know, I'm sure, you know, it has value, but you don't actually need it. So, right. You know, that was an example of the misconceptions about it. But then I think with detoxes and stuff, you know, because I do eat plants and stuff now, and vegetables can catch, you know, things in themselves. Mm-hmm. And then the sulfur vegetables and some of the others are quite good for flushing out estrogens.
Yes.
Which is problematic. Exactly. But again, you know, it's one of those things. It's like when winter comes, there'll be no vegetables or fruit, so I'll be back without them again. Mm-hmm. So it's not that I've jumped ship or anything. It's just, I think it's a complete waste of food in my garden and around where I live to just let it rot on the bushes. And that's my main reason for eating fruit and vegetables in the summer, because I think I can't stand wasting.
Yeah.
It, and it's there for a reason.
I crave it more now. I did 2 years of strict carnivore. I didn't touch any of it. But now that I'm a little bit more open to this local seasonal thing, a local watermelon sounds delightful, especially that it's almost 100 degrees most days here right now. That, oh my gosh, that sounds like the most lovely thing in the world, is to have a little bit of watermelon. And I'm leptin sensitive. I don't have a bunch of weight to lose. So I feel like it's okay for me to do that in the sunshine in the day. So I think, the conversation around food, we need to have a little bit more nuance for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's why, you know, it's one of these things that there's a whole way of eating I haven't even mentioned. You know, the one about vegetable juices and just vegetable juice and liver is a diet that can increase potassium. The one, because there is that pump that can increase, it can change the potassium and sodium. It's not the main way, but that's why, because people always ask me about vegetables and vegetable juices, because if they didn't work, nobody would do it.
Right.
So I always think, well, you know, as long as it's clean, it's not got pesticides, but to do it properly, you need the liver juice and the liver as well, because that's the original, it's invented by a doctor, and it's a diet that's massively helped people who are ill or with cancer, because back then they didn't know about, you know, there weren't any magneticos and stuff like that.
Right.
So it was something, but it won't work. You know, you'll make yourself ill if you just, you know, if I think you have to, this is a whole other topic I'm not going to go into, with breatharians and getting most of your energy not from food. There are people that are designed to just live on air and vegetable juice. That's aside, but generally for the rest of mere mortals, the vegetable, I'm going to try it and I'll let people know just out of curiosity, but it's very specific. The liver juice is part of the juice as well.
Oh yeah. I'd love to hear how that goes for you. It's funny how we can, you know, and that doesn't mean you're becoming a raw vegan or anything. It's just a little something that you're trying out. And I think that that's where we have to stay open-minded to see, you know, that's something that people used to do before we had magneticos. We understood, we had red light panels and things like that. So why not?
But also, is bacteria, if it didn't work, people wouldn't do it. And I think it does massively come back to pesticides, because I did a podcast with Stephanie Seneff, which she really massively over-delivered. And she's written a book on glyphosate. And it's a really annoying toxin because, first of all, it's going to disturb all your neurotransmitters as well, and it interferes with your collagen. But the main problem with it is it doesn't when you eat it, it's not like other toxins. Our bodies do quite a good job of breaking them up. The glyphosate just comes out whole. But you can use fermented things like apple cider vinegar and kimchi, and that's the bacteria in that, the Acetobacter, can start to break down the glyphosate. So that's why I've got an issue with people doing the juicing. It's not per se, if it was 100 years ago, it would be different, but I'm just worried about the pesticides.
Yes.
So I'm not being nasty or mean or, oh, don't do this, or plant-based or anything. I'm genuinely thinking for the sake of the person, because glyphosate is a real monster. It messes up your sex hormones, it messes up your melatonin, it messes up your tryptophan, your serotonin, and I just wouldn't wish that on anybody. So that's why I'll try the juice thing and the liver I was telling you about, but I wouldn't advocate it, because it might hurt somebody who picked the wrong vegetables, because we've got glyphosate here, you've just got more where you are, but then we can spray it all over our patios if we want to, and it really disturbs me.
Yeah, we, you know, they were spraying it at this house when we moved in.
Oh, no, that's straight away. Like, I'm not happy at that at all.
I was just like, no, you can't. Our yard guy, we kept the same yard guy, and he was like, well, I'm going to spray. I'm like, no, don't do that. And he's like, well, you're going to have weeds all over your yard. It's not going to be as pretty. I'm like, I don't really care. I don't want that sprayed anywhere near my house.
Well, actually, Dr. Seneff's an expert in autism. She's got a book on it as well.
Yes.
So she would straight away, the same as me, be really bothered about that in your garden.
Oh, yeah.
She 100% has found the link. And obviously, people try and shut her up.
Yeah, it's funny, Alexis, since we moved here, she used to, at our old house where we never sprayed ever, we lived there for 15 years, never sprayed once. She would just live in the yard, in the backyard, laying on the ground and just sitting on the grass. Here, she won't go outside, and we haven't sprayed in a year since we've been here. I know it can kind of stick around, but she doesn't want to go in the yard. She'll sit on the cement. So I go outside with her, we'll play in the water hose, and she'll kind of sit on the cement. I'll sit on the cement with her, so she's still getting the electrons. Mm. But she doesn't have any interest in the yard still. And it's beautiful, but.
But the thing is, Alexis has got kind of magic powers, because she can feel the EMFs, because the walls scream when it's going for it. So she probably can sense something in the grass, because like I said, glyphosate's one tough molecule, and you're not going to find Acetobacters and kimchi bacteria in the grass. You've got a whole different sort of population of things there. So it's just in there.
Exactly.
And you know, people like Alexis could probably detect it one part in a million, whereas, you know, we can't.
Yeah, she can. She knows. Wonderful. Well, anything else to add to the detox conversation?
Yeah, I think that the last thing, or cleaning, like the last thing was that we've gone through sort of every organ, and we were just talking about coffee enemas, so we can just go to the other end of the body. Because for mouth cleaning, I really like, you know, oil pulling.
Yeah.
And also you can add some tea tree oil into that as well. And then apparently I need to get some coenzyme Q gel is really good for receding gums. I stole that from Brian Johnson, because I keep telling you about it, because if he's gonna spend £2 million on himself testing things, I'm not gonna not look at everything. And he's a really nice man, and fair enough, I don't agree with him, his sun phobia, but I really like him. And you know, I can't see anything wrong with the mouth protocol of the oil pulling, the flossing, and the toothpicks, the tea tree, and also the gel, because he tests every single cell in his body, and he's got the mouth of something like a 20-year-old.
Wow.
I mean, I think some people might have a problem with tea tree because it is antibacterial.
Yes.
But I think it's more antifungal. But then it might be more, you know, I don't like the word good and bad bacteria, because there's no such thing, but there are certain nasty staphs and streps in the mouth that can cause heart problems. And I think Streptococcus pyogenes is one of them. So I think it may be, because obviously it's been passed down through the generations, the tea tree.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was super horrible, our ancestors wouldn't have, I mean, it's more an Australian kind of, a New Zealand kind of thing. I can't remember exactly where it comes from, but again, other people might have some ideas. Because I think you, because obviously mouthwashes are a terrible idea.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
No detoxing your mouth with those.
I just had some gentlemen, they're actually in the UK on my podcast. I haven't published it yet. It'll probably go out in a couple of weeks, but they have a, they do oil pulling and then they have a red light therapy toothbrush. And it has UV light as well. So I've been using that. It's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. Carrie really likes that. And my friend Sarah Hodgson was the EMF person that tested it to make sure it wasn't emitting nasty. And she's really into it as well. I think, I completely forgotten about that because I need to buy it. Because I was going to buy it. I just forgot. What's the name of the brand? I've got it written down.
I think it's Bristol. I don't know. He actually just emailed me this morning. Let me see if
it's
Bristol.
Oh yeah.
If they're in Bristl, and they're on Instagram too. And he just made a code for me. Apparently the code only works in the UK. They're trying to make it work in the US. But the code Sarah with an H is 10% off. But yeah, I think it's going to do well for people. It's pretty interesting technology.
Oh yeah, definitely. Cause that's back to, you know, cause I lean much more to a quantum approach, and if I can do something with light instead of compounds, then I'll go for that, because I think I might switch out the tea tree oil for the toothbrush.
That's what I do. Yeah. I do the oil pulling and then the red light toothbrush. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, great. So have we missed anything for the detox?
I'm sure we're going to get questions. What I'm going to do is actually post this in the private membership group before I put it live on YouTube and on the podcast. So we'll get, I'm sure, lots of questions from the people in the private membership group. And
the thing is, we made it partly for them anyway.
Yeah, we did. We were talking. We're like, let's just make it for them, because we kept on getting these questions about detoxes. And this is something we'll probably keep kind of doing for the private membership group, because we do get a lot of the same kind of questions. But maybe if we get a lot of questions,
it looks like we're two party poopers sometimes, as people ask all that stuff, and we always say no,
don't do that.
We've got to tell people why and give them another alternative, otherwise they don't like it, or they'll just do it anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we try. The thing is, like, when you're doing something like a private membership group, you want to help people as much as you can and answer all their questions. But sometimes we have to make videos like this, and that's why we have the two Zoom meetings a week, so we can actually talk to people more face to face and get more information and more context about what they're trying to accomplish with specific things. But yeah, the detox one has been coming up a lot in the group, and then just a lot on the internet. So I'm sure we'll get some questions after I post it in the group. And if we have to do a part two, we can do that too.
Yeah, but that's a really important point, that lots of people want to ask questions, but they're too shy to comment, and they're too polite to send a direct message. So the group is very friendly and not threatening. And there's, you know, we're not ogres, really. It's more party pooping. And it's just over the same things, like the detox stuff. So I think it's like, we won't tell people yet the thing, because we were planning or talking about this other group. We were, I think, you know, bouncing ideas about as a safe place for certain people. Because, you know, I think that's the important thing, because this thing about the internet and stressing people out, it's got lots of value, but then it can really stress people, because it's not a safe place. Because, you know, I've got a massive TikTok following, but I'm actually quite afraid of TikTok, because you put posts out and anybody can comment. And if I'm having a bad day,
I don't want to see it. I know, that's why I haven't really pursued TikTok, because Instagram, people can be brutal there, but TikTok, I'm like, oh.
You get to meet lots of new people. Reels, you can get, if you just make posts, you just get nice people. And YouTube, you tend to get nice people. And obviously the group, 100%, you know, it's really nice, because it's sort of a really safe environment. So I think it's something. Yeah.
And even in the group, if you want to just, there's an option, you can just do anonymous posts, right? So you don't even have to put your name in there, even in the group, because people have messaged me, I'm afraid to post in the group. I'm like, just do it as an anonymous post and we'll answer you back. You don't even have to put your name in there if you don't want to. Awesome.
Oh yeah, the group's really fun though, because no matter what, you know, that's why the whole thing I mentioned about gurus is that the clients, I learn loads from clients all the time, and they just introduce me to things I've never heard of. And some of the stuff's amazing. So yeah, there's all sorts of interesting things in there.
Yeah, it pushes us to kind of want to learn more, and then also to keep putting out stuff like this and encourage people to not have just one specific guru that they really just look to for everything, because as confident and eloquent as some people are, they don't know everything. And so I think we have to sometimes look at things with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I will put your website, all of your information below the video when this goes on YouTube and the podcast, and information on the group if people want to join that. So just check the show notes. And thank you so much for coming and chatting today, Sarah.
Thank you. It's always fun talking to you.
It is always so much fun. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope that you enjoyed it. And if you did, if you're listening on the podcast app, leave us up to a 5-star review over on Apple or Spotify. Share it out with a friend or family. If you're on YouTube, hit the like button. Again, share it out with a friend, especially if they're really obsessed with detoxing right now and they need a little bit more of a fair and balanced point of view when it comes to these things. As a reminder, my quantum nutrition course is on sale right now. Back to school special, 25% off. The link is down in the show notes. And with that special, you also get 1 month in the private membership group where you can ask questions and get extra help from Dr. Sarah and I. So I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, and I will talk with you again soon.